A declaration by the delegates said the partnership would be new and inclusive and would represent both recipient countries and members of the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. It said the new partnership will offer an open platform embracing diversity and providing a forum for the exchange of knowledge and regular reviews of the process. Included in that diversity are emerging countries that are already establishing significant aid and investment programs like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But according to the final document, their adherence to the principles followed by the members of the OECD are not binding. The goals include the coordination of donor aid programs to avoid duplication and promote greater efficiency and transparency in the use of aid. Signatories also agree to support efforts by recipient countries to design their own poverty programs and to untie aid from conditions set by donor countries. China and other countries have endorsed the document. OECD officials called it a starting point, and Britain's International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell said it represents an acceptance of common goals and shared commitments. Ships, he said, moving in the same direction, albeit with different speeds. Brian Atwood is the former head of USAID and the chair of the Development Assistance Committee, or DAC, of the OECD. He said the agreement takes into account the differences in approach to aid of the southern countries, especially with regard to overseas development assistance, or ODA.
It's made clear in the document that the tradition of South-South cooperation is a different tradition. We acknowledge that, but we have said as well that what's really important is results at the country level. And we agree to coordinate our activities at that level. And, of course, the enforcement mechanism for that are the countries themselves. They want to own their programs, they want to develop their own strategies, and they want the donors and providers to work together to get results.
Atwood says OECD countries and members of the Global South are already working together in what he calls triangular efforts in third or host countries.
Yeah, there's been a very big increase in triangular programs. We call them triangular. Some people call them trilateral. But the programs wherein a host country will work with the Chinese and the Americans, or the Brazilians will work with the Mexicans and the Americans in Central America, we've seen a big increase in those kinds of programs. I think one of the things we'd like to do is to evaluate them and really look at best practices there. But that's a very positive. Just the fact that you're working on the ground with another country that does this business from another tradition is a learning exercise as well, and that is going to create convergence.
Delegates to the meeting also agreed to focus aid on strengthening fragile states with weak governmental institutions, like the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Many are concerned that they will not have the capacity to reach the UN's Millennium Development Goals, which aim for drastic reductions in poverty and maternal and child mortality. Atwood described the type of assistance that a coalition of fragile states called the G7 Plus wanted from the forum.
But what they want is a new set of goals that relate to their particular needs. Now, it's all in context. Obviously, every country is different, but they say they want to prioritize legitimate politics, which means helping them with elections and setting up parliaments and things like that. They want what they call people security, which relates to people feeling secure within their own home and not just having a lot of military around, justice systems at work, economic foundations and revenues and fair services. All of these things are goals for them. And they want country-led programs, country-led and owned programs. And they want, obviously, the capacity to carry out those country programs.
The conference also highlighted the OECD's progress on transparency, country ownership of projects, and support for women. The United States agreed to join the International Aid Transparency Initiative, an effort to regularly disclose and detail aid commitments and disbursements. Secretary of State Clinton said one recent example of U.S. commitment to transparency is the recent launch of a website to follow U.S. aid investments, the Foreign Assistance Dashboard. She also announced a new effort by several governments and international organizations called EDGE, or Evidence and Data for Gender Equality. The initiative will provide data on women's entrepreneurship and assets. U.S. officials say the information should help to reform credit policies, ownership, and inheritance laws that discriminate against women. Recipient countries have also shown progress in opening their budgets to scrutiny and in designing their own aid programs. This year, Kenya unveiled its Open Data Initiative, which allows the public to access budget and spending information.
I was very impressed when I heard a description of the Cape Verde system. They're using modern technology to keep track of all of the flows coming into their country. They're using it to measure results as well. The Rwandans have done a wonderful job. They have a very strong development unit where they do both strategic planning and coordination. And they basically are in the lead. They're telling the donors what they want done. So those are two good examples. Ghana has a strong system as well.
Atwood said the conference also highlighted progress among the OECD members on separating aid from conditions set by donors. He said today about 70% of aid has been untied from those demands. He said many recognize that more must be done to cut costs and improve efficiency by using local sources for material and services and by having open bidding for projects by companies and nonprofits. But Atwood says untying aid completely from donors' domestic needs may be difficult. That's because linking foreign aid to, for example, U.S.-made goods and services helps ensure support for foreign aid among the taxpaying public. I'm William Eagle in Washington.